We are studying the book of Proverbs together and looking for God's wisdom. And where do we most need wisdom? It's with our words. This tongue here, it's hard to control, right? It says things and you go, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. And last week we talked about questions we ask about what we say. Is it necessary? Is it helpful? Is it edifying? Is it something that is timely? But the most important question, which I pushed off for this week, is the question, is it true? Is it true? We have an absence of truth in our culture. It's a lost part of our culture. We have a culture that says everything is determined by the individual. It's true to me. I decide if something's true or not. It relates to morality. It relates to legality. It relates to business. That it's a truth that is only true for the individual, but not an absolute truth. And so Proverbs is presenting truth. The Bible presents truth as absolute. And it can only present absolute truth based on the existence of the absolute God. You can't have absolutes without a standard. And as we look at Proverbs, we're looking at that word truth, and you're going to notice it's connected to trust. Truth and trust. We're going to kind of work that thought through today together. And I've kept saying that Solomon is the writer of Proverbs, and he certainly is, but there were other writers as well. There was a compilation of authors who write down in Proverbs. But it begins with Solomon, right? It begins with the wisdom of Solomon that God gave to him, and he is sharing that with us as well. So let's look at truth today, truth in our world. First, looking at the absence of truth in our culture, I was reading a book called A World of Difference by Ken Samples, and he said this, instead of objective truth, many embrace subjective truth. Truth is not absolute, but relative. You cannot know truth because it's unknowable. Truth does not correspond to reality the way things are, but it's only what works for me. Truth is not discovered, it's invented. Truth is not discovered, it's invented. That shows you that I'm the one that creates the truth. I'm the one that decides what is true. Instead of truth being an objective truth, makes a huge difference in our worldview if we begin with God's absolute truth. Of course, you can't deny truth. As soon as you've denied truth, what have you done? You've affirmed the truth that there's no truth. You got an absolute. And so we know that society can't exist, government can't exist, commerce can't exist without this recognition of truth. So let's look at this word in Proverbs where it connects truth and trust. Truth and trust. Augustine is quoted as saying, all truth is God's truth, wherever it is found. And then I thought, is that true? Did Augustine really say that? And of course I Googled it, and I found that he actually said this, a person who is a good and true Christian should realize that truth belongs to his Lord wherever it is found. So he did say, truth belongs to the Lord wherever it is found. It begins with God. And we read in John chapter 17, and this is eternal life, that you may know the only true God. True God. Why are we sending people out on mission endeavor to Greece? Why are we doing that? Why would we do that? Folks there already have a religion, right? Why would we bring Christianity? Why would we bring this message of the gospel to people? Because only Jesus is the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So there is a standard of truth, and Jesus uniquely brings us to that God who is the true God. And I was reading a little bit of a history on Islam, and Islam has been a religion of destruction, advancement through war, advancement through conquer, not advancement through the love of in a gospel that communicates a God who loves us. It's a very different message. So we bring truth from the gospel because we know that only Jesus offers that truth. So as we're looking at this relationship of truth and trust, I went back to Proverbs chapter 3, not trying to steal a passage from later on, but chapter 3, verse 3 says, "Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you." You remember Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding." Well, what preceded trust? We sang about trust today. Trust is based on the character of God. And two qualities are described. Don't let steadfast love and faithfulness leave you. Two characteristics. Now, here's interesting. I look at those words, the Hebrew words, I say, is there an English word that adequately translates that word? So the Hebrew word for love, is it adequately translated by the word love in our culture? You're saying, well, no, something's missing. In our culture, love is more of a feeling, right? It's more of a, how do I feel today? Well, chesed love, Hebrew love, is faithful love, loyal love. So they add a modifier. Don't let faithful love, and then the next word, and faithfulness leave you. The word there is in some translations translated truth. Same word is translated truth. Other places it's translated faithfulness. Which is it? Is it truth or is it faithfulness? And I would suggest it's faithful truth. Faithful truth. So as we're looking at the relationship of understanding truth today, I want us to connect it to faithfulness. How does it work? You meet somebody, they speak something to you, and you learn a little bit about their reliability. Do they actually fulfill what they said they're going to do? If they do that, it builds trust. You can count on that person. Maybe some of you had experience like I had a couple weeks ago. I was persuaded by a very persuasive salesperson to buy a new product. I had been loyal to another product for a long time, so to change my mind, it took a little persuasion, and boy, there were such wonderful promises. And so I'll buy that product. And sure enough, they arrive, and the product was not all there. Not all that was promised was delivered. Now I'm a little frustrated. I'm a little frustrated at this point. So I said, what do you do if a product promised is not fulfilled? Well, you call the company. So I called, and I found that if you called the sales line, there was somebody right there for you. When I called the helps line, there'll be a one-hour delay. They weren't kidding. One-hour delay? Well, I can make myself busy, have my phone down. I'll wait the 1 hour. But I would suggest to you, as that hour proceeded, I was not really excited about meeting the next person. And when they did answer the phone, I began and said, this is who I am. This is what I was promised. This has not yet been delivered. And he said, just a minute, Mr. Mason. There's another product that you need to consider buying. And I'm thinking, well, now I was becoming cranky. I shifted from being a little frustrated, and you know what happens. You can feel it. I was cranky. And I said, I said something rhetorically. I said, do you think that I would want to buy another product from a company that hasn't delivered the product that I already bought? Would I want to buy another product? Okay, yeah, no, but he proceeded to try to sell me the new product. And so finally, we got to the point, well, he said, that other product that was promised to you will arrive in a month or so. So needless to say, I said, you know, maybe I ought to consider another company. Well, let me fast forward. We did end that conversation, still cordial, though cranky. And he at the end said, well, I'll try to speed up the delivery of that. And sure enough, it's amazing. It arrived within about a week. They finished the job. And thankfully, they record those conversations that you have. What undermined trust? Promises unfulfilled. Lack of truthfulness. Lack of completing what you said you were going to do. Truth and trust go together, don't they? In fact, all relationships depend on truthfulness, because truthfulness is the foundation for trust. Why do we trust in the Lord with all our hearts? Because he is a trustworthy God whose word is true. We can count on him fulfilling what he said he would do. Truth and trust go hand in hand. Trust is a response to truthfulness shown over and over again. One other interesting thing I discovered this week, the word for truth is emet. That comes from the root amen. Now, do some of you remember us talking about the word amen? When the word amen, we asked for it, you said, do I hear a amen? It means reliable, trustworthy. The root, very root of truth is trustworthy, that you can count on it. It's reliable. Amen is that word that had the idea of a mom holding her child securely, or when you're putting your tent up camping and you have a stake firmly in the ground. It can, you can count on it. You can rely on it. It's trustworthy. So truth rests in trustworthiness. And the Bible has put those two together to create this idea of truth being trustworthy, or faithful truth. Well, Proverbs goes on and says we ought to avoid falsehood. The contrast to truth is falsehood, and Proverbs warns against speaking what is false. So the opposite of truth is a lie, deception, falsehood. Proverbs 24:24 says, whoever says to the wicked, you are right. Why would you say to a wicked person, you are right? That person, they said, will be cursed by peoples, abhorred by nations. When you call something good that's not good, what's your confidence in that person? It undermines your character and reputation. Or how about this verse, 29:5, a man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. Flattery is not truthfulness. It's exaggeration. It's hyperbole. It's not telling the person the truth. When somebody doesn't speak truthfully to you, can you trust them? Can you count on them? Can you rely on them? Or in the scripture that Hal read this morning in verse 9, a false witness will not go unpunished. He who breathes out lies will perish. Lying undermines relationship, which leads to self-destruction. Those are why Proverbs says avoid falsehood. But Proverbs also warns us against speaking only truth. You do not want to say every truthful thought that comes to your mind. You do not want to say that, in spite of what you read on Facebook. You do not want to say that. You need to process what you're saying with the other questions. Is it necessary? Is it helpful? Is it loving? Is it timely? You want to modify. When Mrs. Jones comes in with that dress, you don't tell her that she's wearing an ugly dress. Right? You don't do that. You tell Mrs. Jones, your countenance is beautiful this morning. Right? Right? you do focus on what is true
But we say it around. Okay, well, that's wisdom, right? So you add love to truth. Some of you may enjoy America's Got Talent. It's amazing the kind of talent you see on America's Got Talent, right? Somebody had a rat that ran across their nose and they come up with some really creative things. But there's one particular judge who says the truth, but not a lot of the love part. Now, I don't want to mention Simon's name, but he just seems, but did you notice something about Simon? I think there's a soft spot in him. You agree? He really wants the person, the performer, to excel. And if you're singing it off key and somebody says, what a beautiful song, you're not going to elevate them to another level. So I'm kind of seeing a soft spot in Simon. The way Proverbs says it is this way: faithful are the wounds of a friend. Now, think about that for a moment. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Let me give you a literal translation of that verse. The wounds are faithful, and that's the same word, true. The wounds are faithfully true of one who loves you, but the kisses are plentiful of one who hates you. Isn't that profound? That word that's used for friend is also used of a spouse. If you, and I think of a parent, if you really love your child, are you going to always say, good job? Or are you also going to challenge them to a higher standard? Because you love them. And actually, by knowing that it's coming from a heart of love, a person is more receptive to understand its intent is love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Even though it hurts, right? It doesn't really feel good. Mommy, you're not making me feel good. And you go, well, my goal isn't feeling good. It's being good. The purpose for this conversation is your well-being, because I love you so much. And it's actually hating someone when you only tell them what makes them feel good, or they say it over and over to themselves. It takes love, and that's why faithful are the wounds of a friend. I really was captured by that verse, so I was looking up different translations. If you've done that, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Or the wounds of a friend are faithful, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. That one's similar. How about this one? You can trust a friend who corrects you, but kisses from an enemy are nothing but lies. Remember, the word faithful is that word truth. Truth. Faithful truth. The thing that holds relationships together is not feel good, but faithful love, faithful truth. That's what sustains. And as we process it and we say, oh, that doesn't feel good. Oh, no. But there's a greater tie together, and it's faithful love, loyal love, faithful truth. So what are the advantages of this truth that the Bible talks about? Truth yields trust in relationship. But truth also expresses itself in the gospel. The reason we send missionaries, the reason we share Christ with people, is because we know that they need the benefit of truth. If we love someone, we want them to know the truth. And I just think of the truth, and the truth shall set you free, right? The truth really is what frees us. The Apostle Paul affirmed the foundational truths of Christianity in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 when he said, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. I didn't notice this before. There's three truths that he affirms. He first affirms the person and work of Christ. He says, Christ. He says, Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. And what did he do? He died for us and he rose again. The truth is that Jesus is uniquely the one who met our deepest need and gives us the promise of eternal life. Every other religious leader, dead, buried, right? Only Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Only Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So he affirms a foundational truth of who Jesus is. The second foundational truth, he says, he died for our sins. What's the foundational truth? I've got a problem, and the problem is sin. The Bible, to summarize that, is to rebel against God and go my own way. All of us, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The foundational truth is who Jesus is. Foundational truth is the human predicament. It doesn't help people when you say, hey, you are pretty good, when we have a severe problem, and that's our sinfulness. The third foundational truth, it says, is he died, he was buried according to the scriptures. So he's affirming the truthfulness of God's revelation, the truth that God has communicated to us. So there's three foundational truths. The reason we share the gospel is because it has the foundational truths of who God is, what he's done for us, what our problem is, how that problem is solved, and how we can have his guidance for our lives. Can you imagine living today without the truth? Can you imagine kind of going through life without that confidence and assurance? God was gracious to me in introducing the gospel to me when I was a child. And then I had a season of wandering and asking questions. And I believe that he allowed or gave that opportunity. It's during that season of searching, I could identify with how lost it is without Christ. How meaningless, hopeless that it is without Christ. And in that experience of that lostness gave me a compelling desire to share the good news of truth, because we care enough about people. We love them enough that we're going to communicate God's truth for their lives. So I would invite you at the end of this service, we'd love to share with you the gospel of truth. Maybe you've never received the gospel of truth. There isn't another alternative out there. Jesus is the way, the truth, and he has offered life eternal. We'd invite you to come forward at the end of the service. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that the Bible reveals truth, that you have spoken. First, that you exist, and that you're the real, true God, and you've revealed yourself through your word. You've revealed yourself through your son, and you've revealed the way in which we can have a right relationship with you. Lord, each one of us needs to live the truth, speak the truth. Help us to be faithful and true in each of our relationships, whether it's our marriages, whether it's our parenting, whether it's in the workplace. Help us to be marked by faithful truthfulness, that people could count on our words, and that we'd be the kind of friend that cares enough that our wounds would show the love of Christ for others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.